into, let's see where my first scripture is here. Yeah, Mark 11. And let's get right into the Word of God. Father, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for this book for whom so many have sacrificed so that we could have your words of life in written form. Oh, how precious and how wonderful, Father, to have this as a constant reminder, Lord, when our mind goes astray, when we leak out because of the cares of life, Lord, we can come back to this compass, this true north, and see what you want us to see and how we can walk in your peace. Thank you for the words of life today. I thank you for speaking to each one of us by the Holy Ghost and meeting us right at our point of need in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of my message today is The Power of Your Mouth. The power of your mouth, with the emphasis on the word your. Because there's much more power in our mouths than we have understood. Amen. As people, Christian and non-Christian alike. Much blame for life's worst occurrences is laid at the feet of our Father, God. And honestly, it's just not fair. It's not fair at all. Insurance companies, for example, use this remark, acts of God. You heard that one? A tornado, an act of God. Not necessarily so. Jesus got up and rebuked a storm, right? I don't think Jesus would rebuke his own Father. But insurance companies call it that. Much more has to do with man and his God-given power in his mouth than we've been willing to admit. Much more. Your health is tied to your mouth, for example. You can say things about yourself that will actually impact your body. Did you know that? There are things we need to eliminate from our vocabulary in talking about ourselves so that we don't hurt ourselves. Your prosperity is tied to your mouth. You can't hate rich people. You can't talk bad about rich people and expect good to come to your bank account. It just won't happen. Why? Because your mouth is countering that which your heart really desires. Mm-hmm. We all desire to be prosperous. Mm-hmm. Anybody who says otherwise is just being a phony. Yeah. God created you to prosper. Mm-hmm. He put man in a garden full of gold. Yeah, read it for yourself in Genesis, in the opening chapters. It says there were four rivers that flowed from the Garden of Eden. There was gold in that land, the Bible says. It was the good gold. God put the good stuff right there beneath the garden for man to enjoy. You remember at that time there were no sinners on the earth yet. Selah. God gave the good stuff to his children. So your prosperity is tied to your mouth. Story was told recently of a man killed in a factory accident where he violated a basic safety rule. And at the funeral, someone remarked, probably a misguided minister, you know, God must have took him. God must have took him. Another person standing nearby replied, well, God takes a lot fewer of us when we follow the safety rules, I noticed. Isn't that something? Kind of a coincidence there, huh? You see, man has a part. We have a part to play in life. If we don't step up and play our part, what happens? Sometimes catastrophe. Another minister was called to the bedside of a young man who was dying, slipping into a coma. Believe it, as the story goes, he was around age 30. The Holy Spirit told this minister, with regards to reaching out to this person, he said, laws have been set into motion years ago that cannot be overridden. And the young man died. The minister was distraught about it, and he prayed. He sought the Lord. A short time later, he got to talking to family members, and they would relay stories that one after another relayed the same story, that this young man, all during his grown-up years, sometimes out of the blue, he'd turn to his brother, his sister, his friends nearby, and just remark, I won't live past age, whatever it was, 30, 40, as the story goes. I think it was 30. I'll never live past 30. I'll never see my 30th birthday. Those kind of remarks. What did he do? He sealed his future with his mouth. And the Holy Spirit revealed to the minister that was there at his bedside. He said, these laws cannot be overridden. Are you hearing this? There are certain things you and I can set in motion with our mouth that God himself cannot override. Now, in this case, what the Holy Spirit meant was this guy had slipped into coma. He was the only one that could override those laws. Mm-hmm. Who could override him? Not the minister. Not mama. You know mama wanted to override him. No mother wants to see her child die young. That's right. But that man, because he was in a coma, it was too late. He couldn't change with his words what he had set in motion with his words. Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
Heard another story. Well, I'll skip that for now. You're in Mark 11, right?
Mm-hmm.
Happy New Year. We're into January already. Have you forgotten what the Lord said last year at the end of the year? What was the Lord telling us toward the end of 2023? See, because we reset a year and have set maybe a new diet plan, exercise plan, new schedule for ourselves, it doesn't mean we disregard the past, the recent past of what God was saying to us as a church. Amen?
Yes.
So don't, in your mind, just think, okay, just moving forward. We have to hold to what God's recently said as well. Amen? Mm-hmm. Even a year or two ago. What was he telling us at the end of 2023? Mark 11, 23. Mm-hmm. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, say it with me, he saith, shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Life's results stem not only from God's will and God's words about you, but what you will and what you say about you. Are you with me? God has some things to say about us. And we should sync up. You know, we have these phones. Years ago, we had iPods. And that we learned a new word. A new word became heavy in our vocabulary. What was it? Syncing the iPod, right? Means catching it up with all the latest music you've downloaded into your computer. Well, listen, God wants you and I to be in sync with him. Amen. We were created as new creatures to be in sync with what he says about us. But you know, God has already released those words. They're right here. They're written down. But they take no effect where we don't sync up with his words and his will. God's will doesn't automatically come to pass in our life just because he willed it. God has willed that every person should live long. Amen.
Yep.
Psalm 91:16, with long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. That's God's will for every person. But as I told in the story just a moment ago, some people with their mouth seal a different experience. Romans 10:9 tells us, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be what? Saved. How did we get saved? We confessed. We said something. Amen. Salvation was already supplied. But through our experience, we know what? Salvation must be taken. And how do you take it? By what you say.
Right.
How did you take salvation? You took it by what you said. You confessed, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sins. He was buried and for 3 days remained. And on the third day rose and is seated at the right hand of his Father. You said that, right?
Yes.
And you continue saying it to this day. That confession got you salvation. And that same process of confession, believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth, will get you everything else in the kingdom. Everything.
Amen.
That's an eternal principle. It will work in every area. Turn to Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8. Hey, if you haven't picked up a Bible bookmark, do we have some in the back, David, with the usher supplies? Get one on the way out. We're almost finished with the book of Romans. Can you believe it? We're just 2/3 of the way through January, and we're about to finish Romans. Tomorrow, I think we read chapter 16. And then we're off to the Gospel of Mark. It's not too late to jump in and begin reading through the New Testament with us this year. We read one chapter a day, Monday through Friday. We take the weekend off. We're about to finish Romans. I'm working on Genesis. I'm almost finished with Genesis for my Bible reading this year. Praise the Lord. And you read 3 chapters a day, 5 on Sunday, you'll get through the whole Bible. Amen?
Amen.
We're Christians who read our Bibles. Amen. Amen. Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. So what's he talking about there in verse 1? He's talking about the earth. He's talking about the heavens. Verse 2, out of the mouth. Underline that. Highlight it. Circle it. Mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. Another verse, another translation says, he has perfected praise. Because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. How did God do it there in verse 2? How did he steal the enemy and the avenger? Out of the mouths. of babes. Imagine that. God uses children to defeat his enemies. Children who are willing to open their mouths. Verse 3. When I consider the heavens, again, the psalmist is reflecting on the sky and the earth. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visitest him. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor. You've made him to have dominion. Circle that word dominion. Underline it. Highlight it. What is man created for? Dominion. Over the works of thy hands, thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep, oxen, yea, beasts of the field, and dogs. They must obey. The fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent or how majestic is your name in all the earth. Why is God's name majestic in the earth? Because man has dominion. That's what he was created for. And how does he take dominion? Through what he says. That's what we're shown in there in verse 2. It's interesting, isn't it? You know, nature speaks about God, but only man mirrors God. The Bible says in the beginning, we were created in his image. Let us create man in our image. It's humbling, isn't it?
Yes.
It should bring us to a place of humility. I mean, without him, we're nothing. Just dirt put together. Enough sticky in it that we don't fall apart, right? We're like wet dirt. That's all we are. And yet, unlike the angels, we reflect God in some unique way. We're different than the angels. We reflect the Father. And one of the ways we reflect him is the power of our words, our mouth, by exercising that which God has given us. You know, you can look at mighty rugged mountains. They speak about God. Amen? And then there are guys, there's a couple in this room that are mountain of men. They are a mountain of man. They reflect God in so much more clear picture. It's like a foggy picture versus a clear picture. You can see a flowing stream and go, oh, that's beautiful. That reminds me of God. But when you see a man, I'm talking about mankind, man or woman, right? Because male and female, he created them. They were all found in Adam, in case you didn't know. Mystery above mysteries. But only mankind reflects God directly. And in one of the ways that we reflect him the most is using the power of our words intentionally. Say intentionally.
Intentionally.
2024 ought to be a year that you intentionalize your words. Why? Because God wants to move in power. You know, words are keys. Key, what does a key do? A key can unlock something, and a key can lock something. Your words can unlock good things in your life. Your words can forbid and keep out. Right? Aren't you glad you have a front door that locks? You ever driven off somewhere? You know, you're going somewhere and you realize, oh my goodness, I left the front door unlocked. That's a very naked feeling, isn't it? Someone could just walk right in. Maybe you do that all the time. I don't. Not in this world. No, I locked that baby. Why? Because there are certain things we want to keep out. Your words keep certain things out of your life. Did you know that?
Yeah.
That's why I say your words are tied to your health. Your words are tied to your bank account. You never, never, ever, ever say we're broke. You could say our balance is right at the zero line. I mean, but do not confess you're broke.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Don't ever say we're poor. And you might as well, if you're going to be in this church for any length of time, you might as well eliminate the phrase, we can't afford that. That's what we teach here. We are against that.
Amen.
You may not have the supply yet in your bank account, but don't ever say, I can't afford that. Because your heavenly Father is rich beyond comprehension. He can afford anything on this earth that he wants you to have. Amen? You may not have the supply in your hand now, but that doesn't mean you can't afford it. Watch what you say. Words bind, words loose. Words restrain, words release. Amen. In 2024, let's choose to use our words for positive release. Amen.
Yes.
For secure boundaries that keep things out of our life that are negative. Amen. You can do that. And God's given you the power to do that.
Yes.
What did I say in my opening remarks? Many of this world's evils get laid at the feet of God, and it just ain't so.
Right.
He didn't do it. Man advocates many times his authority, his dominion, what we just read in Psalms 8, dominion. He abdicates it by negative words, by unbelieving words. You know, 2 million plus Jews got locked out of the Canaan land, out of the good promised land. How? By their words. The Bible says your words were stout against God. Your words were evil against God. And a nation of Jews was literally locked out of God's promises, God's fulfillment to them. They said what? We're going to die. There's giants in the land. We're going to die. And what happened? They died in the desert. One place I don't want to die. Amen. The ocean's the other. But praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Let's keep it rolling here. Hebrews 1. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. You know, the start of a year, people typically, they rein in their appetites. They shore up their exercise program. Amen. They work on their time management. They do all these things. Let's work on our words at the start of the year. Amen. Let's start off 2024 literally harnessing that which we know to be most powerful of all. The Apostle James says the tongue is the ruler of all, of your whole body. You take dominion with your mouth. You. Right. You think, little old me? Yes, you. Mm-hmm. You'd be amazed at what your mouth can unlock in this world. Mm-hmm. Did you know you can have heaven on earth? Yes. Did you notice in the Lord's Prayer, he told us to ask for it? Yes. He told us to unlock it by inviting God in saying, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Amen. What is that? We are releasing with our words. We're inviting God into our sphere of living. We're literally inviting heaven to come to earth with our words. Are you in Hebrews?
Yes.
Chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake, underline that word, spake, in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, he has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Underline that word made. What do words do? They make things more than we know. Years ago, I told my wife, I said, there's going to come a day that when I go out to the mailbox, I'm not going out there to find bills of people asking for me for money, but the checks are going to be in the mail for me. And there was a season in my life when I recorded some piano music CDs and I started getting the word out and people started mailing me checks to buy my CDs. And it came to pass as I had spoken.
Wow.
And I'd go out to the mailbox and I'd find a check here, a check there, you know, on different days. And I'd go, it's coming to pass.
Amen.
The check's in the mail instead of the bill's in the mail. Amen. It's a great feeling. But what happened? I had spoken that which I desired. I had literally set the course of my life by that which I declared. And that's what we see here in Hebrews 1. He spoke these things. He made the worlds, verse 2 says, by his words, by his Son. Look at verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory. Jesus is the brightness of the Father's glory. And the express image of his person. He upholds all things. One translation says he sustains all things by the what? The word of his power. When he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I want to tell you this little principle when you're reading the Bible. Now, in context there, he sustains things by purging our sins. That's the context there of Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. They're talking about, you know, the book of Hebrews was written to Jewish people who were tempted to go back to animal sacrifice for the covering of their sins. That's why he opens the book here talking about Jesus purged our sins by his blood. We rely on Jesus. But anytime you read a verse of Scripture, the Holy Spirit can highlight a principle for you. We don't want to take the word out of context, but sometimes removing a phrase here, not removing, but pulling out a phrase here or a word there can show us something. And when years ago, the Lord showed me this. It's not hidden from many people, but just that phrase, he sustains all things by the word of his power. That phrase, that idea, that principle leaped out at me from that scripture beyond the context of the book of Hebrews. And I realized, how does our world not fall apart all the time? You know, if you listen to the headlines for 2 or 3 days in a row on the news, you figure it's all coming to, you know, going to pieces, right? Any moment. No, it's not. Why? Because of what Hebrews 1:3 says. He sustains all things by the word of his power. Do you know what's holding this world together right now? Well, yeah, because I just taught you. But I mean, you know, it's not that inflation's down or gas prices are low or we have a good president that we all admire. No, that's not what's holding our world together. It's because Jesus sustains it with his words. You're right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, that's right. And what upholds your world? Your words. Is your world falling apart? That's a rhetorical question. You know, if there's anybody in here that feels like that, you can keep that. But if your world's falling apart, look at what you've been saying. Why? Because your words will either sustain your world. By your world, I mean the things around you, your family life, your personal finances, right? Your personal health, all those things that are personal to you, between you and the Lord. If those things are in shambles, if they're falling apart, don't be embarrassed. Just change what you say. Just change what you say. Amen?
Yes.
That's what we're saying here today. Change your words and you'll change your world. Amen?
Amen?
I'll say it again. Change your words and you will change your world.
Amen.
If we as babes, like Psalm 8 describes, in childlike faith, release his word from our mouth in faith, we will see him silence our enemy and we will see our world upheld. Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you ready for that? Some of you need to run some devils out of your house. Some of you have been letting the devil trample you. Trample your kids, trample your finances, trample your health. It's time for you to sustain your world by your words. And run the enemy out. Out of the mouths of babes, God will perfect praise. He will perfect, he will take his word and put it in your mouth so it drives out the enemy and the avenger from your life. Do you know we have an enemy? If you understood. And thank God we don't fully, honestly. It would terrify us in the natural. If we really understood the depth of hatred, the unmerciful fury coming from the heart of the devil toward every one of us, and he's 24/7 looking to destroy us. Thank God we can't comprehend it fully. But we can learn from Scripture. We know what Jesus said. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen?
Right.
We're not naive about that. You can't just roll along in life and just kind of be naive to the fact that you have an enemy who's out to defeat you and will not relent unless you say something. Amen? You must speak. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. He's given us the power, church. If babies can do it, we can do it. What I find most often is that our mouths get a little rusty. We just get a little froze up from speaking. Amen? We know what we should do. We have his words in our hands and in our hearts. But have we released them from our mouth? Amen? In authority and in faith. That's the ticket. That's the challenge right there, is us releasing our faith. Because faith in our heart is not as good as faith coming out of your mouth.
Amen.
It must come out of your mouth to be effective. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. In the King James, I'm reading Matthew 12, 37. For by thy words, say thy words,
thy words,
thou shalt be justified. And by thy words, thou shalt be condemned. There's a principle there. Now, anytime the Lord speaks about judgment, we tend to think of future tense. We tend to think of that which is going to face us at the great throne. Amen? And we read a verse like that and we think, oh, that's all future tense. No, it's not. Justification and condemnation is happening daily all around us. As I said, if things are falling apart in your personal world, you might have opened the door through something you said. That's what Jesus is teaching us here. By your words. That's the focus. It's not about being condemned. Are you with me?
Yep.
It's not about being condemned. It's about showing us the power in our words. Our words. Years ago, Jerry Savelle was just beginning to learn the principles of faith, and yet his mouth hadn't gotten in alignment quite with what it should be. And one night he was in a church service where Kenneth Copeland was preaching, and after the service he took Kenneth aside, met him in the choir room, and said, you know, just started to pour out his heart, you know, this and that, it's not working for me, this faith thing, you know, just kind of railing in unbelief. And what did Kenneth Copeland do? He turned to him and remarked, "Your problem's in your mouth." So Jerry went home that night. At home he had these back then it was reel-to-reel tapes. Some of y'all don't remember those days, but reel-to-reel tapes. And he had lots of sermon tapes that Kenneth Copeland had preached that he'd been listening to, but in his heart, in his mind, he was thinking, it's not working. This faith thing's not working. I'm not seeing any change. And so in frustration, he got out on a dark night, took one of those reels, said, "Here you go, big mouth, throw it down the road," rolled that reel, the reel, and watched as that tape, that reel just spun down the road and the tape unwound. And about that moment, the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart and he said, "The answer to your problems are just rolling down the road right now." So he scrambled to put it back together, realizing that Kenneth had been right. The problem was in his mouth. See, it takes a while to change Adam's speech. You're born with it. Unbelief comes natural. Doubt comes natural. Fear comes natural. Poverty is a given in the natural, apart from Christ. Are you with me? Poverty is lack. Poverty is not tied to a dollar amount. Poverty is lack. If you feel lack, that's an experience of poverty. That all comes natural. It's unnatural to step into what we're talking about today. To step into divine provision where you go, "I don't know how, but that got paid. My car got paid off. I don't know. I can't explain it. I gave so much in church last week, and yet our bills are paid, and there's a peace. There's a calm that's settled over our finances. I can't explain it." Yeah. That's divine prosperity. Yes. God wants it for all of us.
Amen.
And words are the keys. Yeah. Say this with me. I will use my words, to unlock blessings. To open doors, for my destiny, and not lock myself out. It makes you wonder sometimes how much negative in our world might still be present, even if there wasn't a devil here, given the power that God has put in man's words.
Yes.
Think about it. Again, God gets blamed for a lot of things. Even the devil gets blamed for a lot of things that he didn't do. Heard of a story this week while we were at the conference of a man and his family who were traveling on the highway, and a car T-boned them. They were in this horrible accident. A car T-boned them at such a high rate of speed it literally cut their car in two. The family was scattered throughout the intersection, children, mother, husband. Miraculously, the wife and the children had light injuries. The husband was killed. And oddly enough, the doctors examined his body. They said, "We can't explain it. There's no outward sign, no obvious sign of injury that would have done this."
Wow.
And yet the wife and the children survived nearly unscathed. Days later, it came out in conversation that just days previous, the man had remarked, "I'm a dead man."
Wow.
Just out of the blue. What did he do? He set in motion a force. See, words work whether you use them positively or negatively.
Yeah.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What did the Lord say first? He said death first.
Yes.
We already got death. Adam gave us that. Thanks. Right? Through sin. We're very well acquainted with death. And so the Lord says, choose life. Change what you say. Our world is surrounded by decay, corruption, and much of it by the mouth usage that man has been involved in. It takes 3 to 7 days for a loaf of bread stored at room temperature to get stale. Thank you, Wikipedia. It takes a mere 9 days for human corpse to be reduced to bones alone in an exposed location in the summer, in case you were wondering. 9 days. The world around us naturally decays.
Yeah.
Even Häagen-Dazs can get freezer burn if you leave it in there long enough. Found that out recently. But there is a word that you can release from your mouth that has life in it, that has sustainability. Say sustainability. I know it's a long word for this early in the morning, but it is a powerful word. You and I have been given the right, the access to words that have sustainability in them if we will say what he says. Amen. It takes a change of speech. One last scripture here, 1 Peter chapter 1. Look over there with me real quick. 1 Peter 1. Never speak the problem. God did not say, man, it's dark out here. He did not speak the problem. He spoke the solution. That's faith. It's not denial. We're not saying the problem doesn't exist. Are you with me? I'm not abdicating that you lie about the situation. Just don't talk about it. You see the difference? You don't speak the problem. You speak the solution. Sustainability. 1 Peter 1:23. Are you there? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. There's one thing in this earth that God's given us that is unique to this planet at the moment, because everything else is under a curse. Everything else decays, breaks down, corrupts. But God has put in our mouth, through this book, a word that is literally uncorruptible. Cannot be corrupted. What does that mean? It has power in it. That which scientists can't discover in the lab, no matter how much they study, they cannot find out what is the source of life. Well, God is the source of life.
That's right.
All life comes from him. Sustainability comes from him. His words, therefore, contain what? Life. That which counters everything around us that's breaking down. Read it again. You've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. There's a living power in his words. You can have confidence, not faith in your faith, but faith in the faith that's created from his words.
Yes.
Amen? The Bible calls it precious faith, holy faith, building up your most holy faith. What is holy faith? It's faith that doesn't come from positive thinking, motivational speaking, Hakuna Matata, right? Don't worry, be happy. That's worldly, worldly optimism. That doesn't sustain. But faith that is birthed from the Word, the incorruptible living Word of God, you can have confidence in that.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Amen.
You can have confidence. Aren't you glad that we can increase our faith? That's something else the Holy Ghost spoke to us, I think it was 2 weeks ago, that 2024 is the year that we should build our faith and what? Release our faith.
Amen.
You can build your own faith. You determine how big your faith gets. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
How do you do that? You pray in the Spirit. You pray in tongues.
Yes.
And you read the Word. You take it in. You drink it.
Right.
You pour it in. Listen, if you don't have an appetite yet for the Word, just keep pouring it in.
Yes. Amen.
Why? Because that which we give our attention to becomes our interest.
Yeah.
And if something doesn't feel like your interest just yet, just keep giving your attention to it. And all of a sudden you'll find, I love the Word.
Amen.
I drink in the Word at every turn.
Amen.
I look for things that remind me of the Word. You have to cultivate that appetite, saints.
Yeah.
It doesn't come naturally. You have to cultivate it.
Right.
But it is a living seed, an incorruptible seed. Say that with me. An incorruptible seed. And it has the power to produce in your life. Philippians 4:19, for example, says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. So you take a seed like that and you say, man, I'm looking at my check balance. I'm looking at the bills that are coming due. But what does the Word say? I know in the natural, my numbers don't add up. It's not all there. But what does the Word say? My God shall supply. Did you know that there's enough grace? God's already released grace for every day of your life. From now till you die. God's already looked ahead. John the Apostle, when he wrote the book of John in chapter 1, he said, "And of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace upon," like an echo going endlessly, "grace upon grace upon grace upon." God has released through his word for your life every grace you'll ever need. Aren't you glad? Like that song says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. How can you face tomorrow? Not because you feel adequate in yourself, but because you trust. God has given me Sunday, January 21st, grace. It's here.
Amen.
It was here before I got here.
That's good.
What is that? It's the sustaining power of God.
Yeah.
He's released it for your life. If you'll trust him. Praise the Lord. And so you look at Philippians 4:19, you say, "My God shall supply." But I need money today. So you change your confession. You say, "My God has supplied," because truthfully, he already has through Christ Jesus. Amen?
That's right.
And then your faith rises and you get to the point you say, "I'm supplied. My God has supplied my need according to his riches and glory." Amen? And this faith wells up in you that says, "I don't care what I'm seeing naturally right now around me. I'm supplied."
Amen.
Why? Because the incorruptible seed, the truth of the word of God, the sustainability that's in his word has risen in your heart. Faith has risen. And with your mouth, you are all of a sudden, you're framing your world to look different than it has.
Yes.
Now your world looks supplied.
Right.
Not lacking.
Amen.
Folks, this works.
Yes, amen.
This works for those who will work it.
Yes.
It's a whosoever will thing. It's not a pastor thing. It's not for preachers. It's not for TV evangelists. It's for the saints.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
God has supplied your needs through Christ Jesus. And he's got storehouses of treasures reserved for us, just waiting to be unlocked. How do you unlock it?
Words.
Words will unlock the treasures of heaven and the reserves for you. Amen? He's waiting for us to agree with him so that they can be unleashed. In 2024, he's asking us to say the right thing. Stand together with me. Some of us in here today need to start using our words to build up rather than tear down. To plant rather than uproot. You know, with your words, you can uproot everything you've been believing God for. Did you know that? You can pour faith in day after day after day, and all of a sudden you come to a day and you say, "Well, it's just not working." What'd you do? You took your shovel, you just uprooted that precious seed that was underground that was just starting to come to life. Who knows? It may have shot up 2 inches underground yet. And in that moment, with your mouth, you can literally dig up your seed if you're not careful. What does the scripture say? Beat your swords into plowshares. Some of you need to quit cutting the goodness of God out of your life with your sword and turn that thing into a plowshare. What does a plowshare do? It digs up the earth so you can plant precious seeds in there. You need to quit cutting the goodness of God out of your life, the blessings of God out with the words you're saying, and get the ground ready to be planted. Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I believe the Lord wants us to repent. It would be a good thing to do, don't you think, the start of the year?
Yes.
For words we've been saying against ourselves.
Yes.
And you know what? I'm not just talking about outward words. There's a lot more conversation that goes on in here, in our heart, than what comes out here. So even your inward words need to change. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can inwardly say, I'll never achieve that.
Mm-hmm.
That'll never be mine. You may not say it with your outward words, but your heart is talking some unbelief trash.
Yes.
And you need to let that go as well. Amen?
Amen.
Are you willing to repent?
Yes.
Repentance is a beautiful thing.
Yes.
The Bible says that times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord when we repent. Repent simply means turn and go another direction.
Yes.
It doesn't mean you have to waller on the floor, let out a boo-hoo of tears. It just means turning. We were going left, now we're going right. I was talking poverty, now I'm talking supply.
Amen.
I was talking sickness, I was talking about my joints, my pain, my bad back. Now I'm talking about the healing stripes of Jesus.
Yes.
I'm changing my speech. And what will happen when you do so? You'll change your world. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, we just thank you that your spirit is such a gentle, corrective reminder, Lord. You never condemn, you never berate, you never beat down, but you lovingly correct us. And so, Father, I thank you today for the loving correction of the Holy Spirit in our lives to get us where we need to be. Now, I believe the Lord wants some of you to repent today. Probably I'll start off myself. I always feel like I'm preaching to myself. Every summer I look back and I go, wow, that was for me. By Monday, Tuesday, I'm like, yeah, I should be living this right about now. So, but some of you in here, you know the Lord is correcting you. And I'm not going to ask you to come forward. That's between you and Jesus. But you need to make a correction in your heart today. And I'm going to ask you just from your heart right now to say, Lord, I repent. I repent for evil speech. I repent for unbelieving speech. I repent for words that have been destructive to my world, the world that you have designed to be beautiful and an expression of heaven on earth. I turn now from those destructive words and I give my mouth to you in 2024, to your word, your incorruptible seed, to fill my mouth and fill my life. Would you do that? Would you turn right now in your heart? The Lord knows what you're doing. The Lord knows the direction you're turning right now. And you know, if you've seen yourself in poverty, if you've seen yourself as lacking, if you've seen yourself as the victim, you must change. Amen. You must take on a victor mentality. It's not easy, I know. I've worked through some of these things in my own personal life. I've seen how that my mind is so settled in having, you know, people feel sorry for me in this area or for me in that area. Listen, folks, none of us is a victim in Christ Jesus. Amen. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Yeah, while he was talking, it just came to me. Sometimes we've said things, you know, at the beginning, he talked about that story with the young man that had spoken those words. And the reason that situation was locked down was because that man had set those words in motion. And now he was in a coma. He couldn't do anything about it. Sometimes we've said things we shouldn't say. There's been times I used to walk around as a little girl and go, I'm blind. How stupid is that? But I've renounced those words. I pulled him up and said, devil, you get nothing. You know, if we've opened the door, we can shut the door. Yeah. We have that authority as a believer. He's given that to you. So if the Lord reveals something to you and you're like, I've said this, I've set something in motion, you can say, you know what? No more. Mm-hmm. I pull it up by the power of the name of Jesus. I pull that seed out and pull it up and then I speak the word over it. So I speak life over it. Yeah. You have that authority. So even if things are set in motion, because sometimes we just say dumb things, mm-hmm. you know, the enemy comes to put frustration on us, to put pressure on us. He wants us to pull up the seed. So know when you get frustrated, shut your mouth or just start speaking the word, but say, God, help me. We need supernatural help to say the right things. But I just want to encourage you with that. If you've opened the door, you can shut the door. When he reveals it to you, you can pull that seed back up and then declare the word.
Amen. Amen. Sure can. Amen. Lord, we turn our hearts today. We know, Jesus, you came to give us life and life abundantly. And we embrace that with our heart. We embrace it with our mouth. Thank you. You're a good God. We serve you with gladness because you are good. And you do good. And you give us good. And we thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. You may be here today and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. I don't know that everybody here in the room is a born-again Christian. If you're not, this is your moment to give your life to Jesus. If you say, Pastor, I just want to surrender my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. I've been running. I've been in sin. But I believe today I want to come home. I want to surrender to Jesus. If that's you, just raise your hand right where you're at with heads bowed for a moment. I'll give you the courtesy of privacy. You won't be embarrassed. I'm not going to embarrass you by having you come up. But I want you to be bold in your declaration of, I want to receive Jesus today. Anybody here, you say, I want to receive Jesus today for the first time, or I'm returning home to the Lord today from sin in Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody at all? Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray this prayer together. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus.
Thank you for sending Jesus.
Our salvation.
The perfect sacrifice.
The spotless Lamb. Who shed his blood. To wash away my sins. Save me, Father.
Save me from my
sin. I thank you that Jesus died.
He was buried.
And on the third day rose.
So I could be justified.
Declared innocent.
In the eyes of God.
I receive your forgiveness.
I receive salvation.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, it's a great day. You know, Most of us in this room, I believe, have done that, said that prayer in some form or another at some point in our life. But you know, the Lord is saving us every day. And through this message, some of you are being saved today from a destructive path you were on up to this point. And now you've got a choice to make. You can choose, I'm going to change the words I release about my life. And that's like getting saved all over again. Is it not? This message is given to save you from those things the enemy wanted to plant in your life. You know, we say all the time, God's got a wonderful plan for your life, and that's true. And the devil also has a terrible plan for your life. Did you know that?
Yeah.
It's a plan for destruction and evil.
Yeah.
But by your choices, by your words, and changing today, and starting off 2024 with a new path of words released about yourself, you just got saved all over again. Praise the Lord. We get saved every day. Aren't you glad? The Word saves us. He upholds all things. He sustains us by that Word. Amen. We should love to be corrected by the Holy Ghost. Right? There's no shame in it. There's strength in it. There's healing in it. There's recovery in it. There's blessing in it. And God's got great blessing for us this year. I can't wait. I I'm so thrilled what God's going to do in our lives together in Jesus. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful day and be blessed in the Lord and stay warm in Jesus' name. Amen.